Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
it's the thing lurking in the background in the graveyard that follows after you.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is Patrick here. On behalf of Jim Lanahan, I want to welcome everybody to another episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. And this is going to be another installment in our Meet the DJ series, which people seem to have been enjoying quite a bit. And today, I really want to tell people about this program because I think it's really cool and really unique to our platform. So welcome to the program, Zach Cruz. How are you doing, man?
I am fantastic, brother.
Thank you so much for taking time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So let's start with the basics, Zach. What's the name of your show, and when does it air on Suburbs Radio?
So the name of the show is called The Mutant Graveyard, and that is it's on Wednesdays at 3 Eastern, 2 Central, and whatever that is, Pacific, noon Pacific?
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
And then the replay happens on Friday nights.
Friday nights. Okay, great. And you've got a certain approach that you take to your program. Would you describe that basically for folks?
Yeah. So the idea is that I love trash rock, and I love rockabilly, and I love bad monster movies and bad horror movies. And there is an aesthetic. You know, if you tune into, like a Ray Dennis Steckler picture, or you're watching something with Arch Hall Jr., you're going to hear a certain kind of music.
Right.
And that certain kind of music is usually the kind of stuff that, like, the Cramps were, borrowing from and replicating, in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
So, if it's in those like WFMU Lux and Ivy songs that Lux and Ivy taught us, archives, like, you're likely to hear it on the graveyard. But so mixed in with that, though, is some more contemporary, psychobilly stuff and, horror novelty songs and things like that. I mean, I just love that sort of like monster kid, icky, ooey, gooey, outsider stuff.
If anybody has listened to the program, certainly I think you'll get that. You'll get that vibe right away. But how did that start? How did you get into that kind of stuff? Has it been since you were a kid, or when did that actually begin to manifest itself in your taste?
Oh yeah, always.
Okay.
So I've always been, comic books and old comics and that sort of thing, and like scrounging around, at flea markets and garage sales and comic book shows, looking for old back issues and, weird horror magazines and that sort of thing. That's always been part of me. But I guess it was really like when I was in high school, when I found out about the Cramps and started digging around and listening to them a lot. And then, a few years later, stumbling on like Rocky Erickson and Daniel Johnston, and all of those guys, they all sort of fit in a very particular conversation, sort of musical conversation. And so it just kind of, it came about really naturally. And also around the same time when I was discovering that stuff, as I was a kid, I was also hearing that sound on the movies I was watching on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, okay. Great.
So,
great.
Like, so many bad movies, that's the premise of the show. They're all bad movies, but so many of the movies on that show were playing the same kind of music that I was getting really, really into. So that all sort of coalesced around the same time. And as I was listening to more punk rock stuff and listening to like Social Distortion and Mike Ness, and Mike Ness put out those two solo albums where he's just covering old outlaw country songs.
Yep.
And that sound just sort of kind of gets, folded into that, all of that stuff really nicely over time. And now it's just kind of who I am now, right? It's like a new pair of underwear. After a while, it becomes a part of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's how it came to be. And then I started a few years ago, I guess maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, I started a Halloween playlist for my kids where I was just picking all the spooky stuff that we listen to every year.
Cool.
As soon as Labor Day is over, the Halloween playlist starts. So there's like 16 hours worth of music on there. And it's something my kids and I have been doing forever.
Nice.
So when the opportunity came up to do a show, I was like, well, of course, we'll just stretch it out.
Oh, very cool. Now, yeah. Do you have any previous experience doing radio? Did you do it in college or at any time before that?
Nope.
No? Okay, cool. Yeah, same here. I mean, my radio shows were like the mixtapes that I made for my friends, you know, where I had planned each segue out and all that stuff, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love playing DJ.
Right.
But I never actually did it until now. I mean, I did some podcast things, okay. But never anything like this, no.
Right. And do you currently still do a podcast?
One of the other Suburbs hosts, Will Pfeiffer, and I, we did a show for years.
The movie podcast.
No. That was Billy.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not Billy with the bad taste.
Oh, okay.
No.
Forgive me.
No, it's okay. It's all right. I love Billy. He's a good dude. Just, you know, bad taste. Will and I and another friend of ours, Ben T, did a comic show for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of informally went on hiatus after I moved to Georgia for a short period of time, and then we just haven't been able to get the wheels back on the road.
Okay, cool. Is that still out there for people to consume if they want to?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's called Pictures Within Pictures. The Libsyn feed is still up. You can still subscribe to it and find it at all regular podcatching places. So,
okay, yep. Very cool. Now, I noticed, speaking of the Halloween stuff you were talking about, when you put your playlists for the shows up, they don't say like show number 10 or, you know, episode 20, they say haunt. So you call each one a haunt.
Yeah. Yeah. Each one's a haunt because that's what they are. It's the thing lurking in the background in the graveyard, right? That follows after you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also usually open and close with.
So I open with, I always open with the Moon Trekkers song called, Night of the Vampire. And then there's like this public domain, Halloween Frolic or whatever that I close with.
Okay.
In between, there's a bumper that'll put in between. And it's always an ad from old monster movies.
Oh, okay.
Because so it'll be something like, you know, like those old ads you used to see either in the theater at a drive-in or something like that for like the Tingler, you know, or, you know, these, you know, fantastic, you know, holiday or, you know, Halloween frights or whatever, where, you know, like they used to do in the 50s and 60s where they'd have people dressed up as monsters running up and down the aisles, startling girls and probably into more trouble than they needed to. But I love those, I'm too young for it, but I love the notion of those gimmick pictures, right? Like you're going to go see the Tingler because you're going to sit down and you're literally going to be shocked, right? So at some point during the film. So I love that gimmicky type stuff. I think it's so fun and interesting. So I try to include those as often as possible.
Very cool. Yeah. It definitely gives it a really cool vibe. As always, folks, I want to remind you that, as Zach mentioned, his show is on Wednesdays, and then there's a replay on Friday nights. But also, you can go to Mixcloud, and you can find these there. They propagate there after a few days of being aired. So should be able to go back and find all these haunts if this sounds like it's up your alley. Now, Zach, is there a room in your house where you've got, like, you open it up and there's a vault of all these records that are sitting there along with your all the movies on 8mm, or do you source this stuff from all kinds of different places?
Yes to both.
Okay.
So we recently relocated to Wisconsin, so we've moved into a new place.
Okay.
So I'm gradually getting all of my stuff out of storage and back here.
Okay.
Much to, you know, while negotiating with my lovely patient wife, you know, about where things are going to go. So all the records and stuff are sort of moving back here, but I've got as much of it digitized as possible.
Okay, cool.
Because that started again, which started with putting together the playlist for the kids. So a lot of that's already done. But every now and then, like I'll hear something new or I'll find something that I hadn't heard of before. Then I just go and, you know, source that from wherever I can get it, especially like the film clips. Like there's some of those like ads that I'm pulling from a couple of compilations that Something Weird put out, mm-hmm. but there's others like, well, I just know that these are things that exist because I've seen those trailers. So I've got to go out and source the audio and put them in the special file or they emerge into the, you know, into the graveyard at some point.
That's right. They have to get a certain amount of decay on them, right, before they actually are good for the for the show. Yeah.
Yeah, they need to stink a little bit.
There you go. How would you describe your style as a host when you are doing your radio show?
You know, usually a bit manic. so I try to be pretty high energy. And I've got a, you know, and I don't spend a lot of time, like every now and then, if I get a bug up my butt, like I'll talk about like the history of a track or an album or some, you know, I do that, but seldomly. Like it's got to, like the spirit really has to move me on that one, because my philosophy is just to play the music.
Yes.
And let that sort of speak for itself. And I don't think that, I think I'm a lovely, charming person, but if people are listening, I don't think they're doing it specifically because of me. I think they're doing it because we have a shared sort of passion for this kind of weirdo stuff.
Right.
So my feeling is just to get out of the way and let the music speak for itself. And then I will cater it as much as I can in terms of, you know, I'll try to build blocks of music around some sort of theme. So this block, this hour, this 15 minutes is all going to be Frankenstein songs.
Right, right.
Or well, something like that.
I was going to say, I had in my notes one episode I particularly liked. You started off with Marty Robbins doing El Paso. And then you went into Jad Fair and Daniel Johnston, which is one of my favorite collaborations of all time, doing Memphis, Tennessee. And then there were two that I had not heard of, and I had written it down here, the Viscounts and Wendell Smith. Viscounts doing Harlem Nocturne and Wendell Smith doing Nashville, Tennessee. That was a brilliant set, man. It was just so mind-blowing.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and the themes, these are all towns.
Right. Great. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And the music shared a certain style, a certain swing, I think might be a good way to put it. Yeah. So amazing. And you'll also throw in 60s or 50s girl group song or a doo-wop song too, which I think is really cool. Is there one artist you think that's appeared on your show more than any other, either by coincidence or just because it's one of your favorites?
Oh, that's an easy one. Rocky Erickson. I play Rocky every episode.
It seems like you do. Yeah.
Every single episode, there's a Rocky Erickson song. So if it's not Rocky solo stuff, there's something from the 13th Floor Elevators.
Right, right.
And I did that because I thought about the band being someone like the Cramps, but the Cramps are just, I love the Cramps. I would never, you know, like I really, really adore the Cramps.
Yes.
But the Cramps are great, but like the Rocky to me is sort of the connective tissue that brings together all of these disparate things in a unique way, because he is going out of his way to write songs and sing songs specifically about the, you know, the monster kid sort of ethos that the show is, you know, is predicated upon. So because Rocky is sort of like that heart, you know, of the whole thing, I try to make a point to play him every single episode without repeating tracks.
It's the night of the fast.
And his career is really interesting because after the 13th Floor Elevators, of course, he recorded, you know, pretty frequently, but not necessarily in a very linear way. You know, it wasn't like he was signed to one label necessarily, right? Or did a bunch of stuff. You know, it's here and there. And this is, I mean, it's great, the stuff that you've collected. Some of it I have not heard, and I consider myself a fan, but you know, not a huge fan. So I think in that sense too, it also puts his career a little bit into perspective, which I appreciate too. But you do play the Cramps occasionally. Certainly, I've heard them on there. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, no, plenty of the Cramps, plenty of Daniel Johnston. I love Daniel Johnston because there's another guy who's just a weird mutant. You know,
he is. Yeah.
But he writes these really beautiful, heartfelt songs that mean something. And you know, for as much as I like, you know, all the goofy shit that I put on the show, I love that, but like, I do really appreciate someone who's really pouring themselves into a sound or an idea and just happens to sort of, you know, link itself to, you know, Frankenstein's monster.
Right. Right.
And there's something really fabulous about that.
The other one I wrote down in my notes, I was going back through the weekend and catching up on some I hadn't heard, was on one show, and I can't remember the song, I couldn't exactly find it, but you played Ken Nordine, and mm-hmm. I always found him to be tremendously interesting. I have an album of his where it's like all those, you know, sort of swinging poems about colors, you know, when he's talking about all the different colors. But how did you discover Ken Nordine?
Completely and totally by accident.
Okay.
So in my quest to find weird music like this, you know, I did what a lot of kids do, and so I would just buy compilation records, you know, spooky Halloween tracks and things like that. So absolutely by accident, just stumbling upon those comp records. The same way that I found, you know, any number of punk rock bands by going into Hot Topic and dropping $3 on the Epitaph Records CD or whatever.
Exactly right. The Lost Leaders or whatever you call them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you find 50 bands on there and wow, now I know so much about Fat Records. So Ken Nordine I stumbled upon him in that way, buying, you know, records at like thrift stores and things like that, like those Halloween spooky records.
Yeah, he's so interesting. And I, you know, as I was writing that question down, I was saying to myself, how would I answer that? And I'm like, I have no idea. It must have been probably the same way. You know, it was like a total accident. He was just somewhere where I happened to come across one of his songs or something like that. Or somebody made a mixtape for me that had one of those color songs on there. I think he's a really, really interesting artist that kind of is between the cracks of a lot of different things. So.
Kind of thing I want to put on there too, because like it's those artists that are falling in between the cracks. Like there's so many. Like there's one set I picked up a while ago. It's just called White Trash Rockers from like 1951 to 59 or something like that. And there's just about 30 different groups you never heard of, and and everything sounds like it would, you know, it sounds like it was played by the cast of Crybaby, right? Like, these were records recorded in like some mud hut out in the middle of Maryland, outside of Baltimore somewhere, you know, by a bunch of greasers, you know, arguing over, you know, whose baby is whose and, you know, and that sort of thing. So
beautiful. Yeah.
And you know, when you find those things, every now and then, you know, I'll find like a 45 or something like that. But just having any sort of trace of it, any record of it at all is amazing, because there were people that were cutting really interesting songs and, you know, they're just gone. Like someone else I think of like that is like Hazel Atkins. Like, I mean, Hazel.
Yes, great example.
Lots of people know Hazel Atkins. Lots of people do, for, you know, any number of reasons.
Right.
But like, you kind of have to go look for him. You know, you really have to. Like, maybe you heard Hank Williams III talk about him one time on a record, and that's your intro. But then after that, you have to go find it. And then when you find it, you find the other freaks and maniacs who also know who Hazel Atkins is, and then you all talk about, you know, eating hot dogs together or whatever.
Right. And you're buying all the records on Norton Records label or something like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So the big day is coming up as we record this. Actually, it's 2 weeks away. And you mentioned, as we were kind of preparing for this, Zach, you've got a Halloween special coming up.
Can you reveal a little bit
about what that's going to be like?
Yeah. So the day of, on the afternoon of Halloween, I will be doing a 2-hour live special.
Wow.
Where I'll be playing some stuff that folks have heard before, but it'll all be thematically linked and everything's going to build on one another and we'll crescendo into sort of a great, you know, spooky Halloween moment. So that's going to happen the afternoon of the 31st, I think at noon is when we're going to start that.
Okay, fantastic.
And we talked about maybe doing it a little later, but I have rituals with my kids.
Yeah, so I would imagine that's a busy night.
I can't sacrifice the rituals. So,
no, we wouldn't want you to, for sure.
No, but it's going to be great fun. And so I'll be doing that live, and then I'm going to figure out a way to simulcast that like over like Facebook Live or something.
Oh,
so
cool. That'll be great. Yeah.
So folks can play along if they're so inclined. I don't have enough followers on TikTok to be able to do it on that either. So I'll simulcast it on Facebook and maybe YouTube and, see what folks have to say about it.
That'll be beautiful. That'll be fantastic. So everybody who's listening, mark your calendar for Halloween. It's early enough in the day, so it won't, interfere with your rituals, as Zach said, in the evenings. And a good time to note that we do now have, dedicated apps on both the Android and, iOS platforms. So you can download those and listen to the show as well. And, that will be really fantastic. I'm really looking forward to that. Zach, if folks want to follow you on the socials, and keep in touch with what you're doing radio show wise and other stuff, where's the best place for them to do that?
Best place is on twitter.com. Okay. That's where I am the most often. And my handle there is just my name, ZACKKRUSE.
Okay, beautiful.
But I'm on all the major social media platforms, so people can find me there. It's the same handle. I'm not trying to get cute.
Okay, cool.
And find me there. Read my books. Listen to the music.
Well, I was about to say, I'm not sure if you passed any kind of a pre-screening or prerequisite test when we gave you the gig as a radio host on Suburbs Radio, but you may be too smart and too accomplished to actually be on this radio station but you've written a book here that looks amazing. Tell us a little bit about it. It's called Mysterious Travelers, right?
Yep. It's called Mysterious Travelers. It's out from the University Press of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And it is about Steve Ditko, who is without a doubt, one of the most singularly important voices in American comic books. Steve had a very peculiar and particular political and social worldview. So the book is about that. Like, what is this worldview? How does it fit into sort of the tapestry of American thought in the mid 20th century? And how does Steve's comics sort of help us think about the complexities of that moment? It's as much about his philosophy as it is about sort of placing his philosophy within sort of a bigger conversation, but also, and not just him, but comics in general within these bigger conversations. So it's pretty readable. It's not quite so dense as it might sound on the surface, but it's all about Steve's work and the contributions he made and the ways that other people responded to him later. And I'm really proud of it. And because of it, I've had some opportunities to do some really interesting work with his estate. And,
fantastic.
And moving things forward there. So folks can get that anywhere where you buy books. You can pick up a copy.
Great. I am definitely going to do so. And so I got to ask you, Zach, your kids and your lovely patient wife, how do they react to the radio show? Do they ever listen? Or is it like, oh, Dad's going to go do that weird thing that he does down in the basement?
Yes to both. my wife, this is not my wife's music.
I have that same thing with mine and my radio show. So, yeah.
But my But my kids dig it though, because it's the stuff that they've, you know, more or less been raised on.
Yeah.
So I mean, yes, I have to, you know, scurry away and I have to close the door and like, you can't be in here for an hour. Like, stay out of here. Please don't knock. I cannot start this over and I'm not going to spend a bunch of time editing this.
Right. Right.
It's too complicated. So yes, I have to, you know, squirrel myself away, but the kids really dig it because they're big Rocky Erickson fans too. They love Rocky. And my toddler, my 4-year-old, I know it's like a cliche thing that like people like post like, oh, here's this magical thing my 4-year-old said today. And
yeah.
They're totally lying, you know, but I swear on my mother's not yet sealed grave, that my toddler, she loves I Walked with a Zombie and will just walk around the house singing it entirely of her own volition.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Because partly because I poisoned her brain.
What have you done?
This is what she listens to on the way to preschool.
Yeah. Once it gets to that point where you can bring in your favorite 45, it'll be I Walk with the Zombie.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I got to ask you too, Zach, as we get near the end here, on your Twitter profile picture, is you kissing something? What is that exactly that you're kissing?
Bigfoot.
Oh, is that Bigfoot?
It's a statue of Bigfoot.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Those statues must be everywhere. They must have like mass produced them because I've seen that statue in lots of places. But it's a statue of Bigfoot that's in the UP near Pictured Rocks.
In
northern Michigan. So by Munising, Michigan, there's like a pasty shop over there, which this statue of Bigfoot guards.
Nice. You're sharing such an intimate moment there in that photo.
Oh, man,
it's priceless. Yeah,
if I'm going to leave my wife, it's going to be for Bigfoot.
Certainly she can understand.
Yeah. I mean, who could blame me?
Right. Exactly. I certainly wouldn't. No.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Zach, is there anything else you want to add to folks out there about the show or just anything else that's going on?
I mean, I hope that folks tune in. I mean, it's something that I, you know, I'm lucky enough to do for the network. I'm stammering a little bit because it's important to me. Like I'm very lucky to be able to do this thing because it scratches a very particular itch where I get to share something I'm really passionate about and also share a side of me that I think is, you know, worth sharing. And I think that these songs sort of in this sort of contained sort of space in this universe, you know, they work together and those are ideas worth thinking about and music worth listening to, because I think very often we forget about these things and or treat them as though they are second class, or we say really stupid things like, oh, it's so bad, it's good.
Right.
Well, that just means it's good.
Right.
Like you just mean to say it's good, but you're embarrassed by it. So my hope with it is, you know, I'm not embarrassed by these things. And my hope is that other people sort of get into it and listen to it, and then they're not embarrassed by it either. Like, just like, you know what, this is really weird, but I love it.
Yeah.
Let's go be weird for an hour on the radio and then take it from there.
That's good for us. It's good to be weird. It really is. Yeah, believe me.
It's really good to be weird.
Yes, it is.
And I'll give you another example. One quick example.
Sure.
So one of the things I put on there was this avant-garde thing that was recorded in a Chicago radio station, you know, 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that a professor friend of mine did when he was doing radio. And it was just some weird goofball, like, noise thing that they had done because they had managed to just hijack a radio station for that 30 minutes or 60 minutes. And that, you know, it was strange and uncomfortable, and I'm not sure how many people actually really liked it when they heard it, but it is a thing that exists they did it because they cared about what they were doing. They had an idea, they wanted to be weird, and they went out and did it with no compunctions and no regrets and no fears. Like that's what the Mutant Graveyard is, right?
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's a beautiful summary. Beautiful summary. And we're very lucky to have you doing this. We really appreciate it. And there's a lot of people that listen to the podcast. And I think we know this because we know how many people listen in a general way. But there's not, I think, a lot of people that maybe listen to the podcast that have tried out the radio station. And this, you know, I think Mutant Graveyard could be a really good entry point for a lot of people, because I think there are people who really appreciate that kind of stuff. And Man, you're bringing a super high level of knowledge and passion to it. There's no doubt about it. Definitely give it a chance. And you can do that on Wednesdays, afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern. And then, of course, you got to get ready for the big Halloween special coming up on the 31st. So that's going to be super exciting. Really, really looking forward to that. Zach, thank you so much for taking some time. It's been a wonderful half hour to chat with you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, brother.
Absolutely. Folks, if you want to get in touch with us about the radio station or anything else, you can find us on the social medias at Suburbs Pod. You can always send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com, and you can always just stick your head out the window and yell, and eventually somebody will come and see what you need. So, on behalf of Jim Linehan, I am Patrick Foster, and with me has been
Zach Cruzing.
Thank you, Zach, very, very much. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
I love trash rock.